Just to give you some background on our Bureau of STD Control in New York, we have 10 clinics across all 5 NYC boroughs. We offer free and confidential walk-in services for anyone ages 12 and over. We see over 100,000 visits per year in all of our 10 clinics. And our services include STD identification and treatment, hepatitis A and B vaccination, some family planning services, and field services. Background about our medical record. An electronic medical record was built in-house by our IT department and has been used in all 10 STD clinics since September of 2005. In the first 2 years of full deployment, so through September of 07, we captured almost 221,000 visits. And I should mention that in our bureau, the electronic medical record, or EMR, is referred to as EMR. So for brevity's sake, that's how I'll refer to it for the remainder of the talk. In order to orient you to our EMR, I'll briefly show you the components of a patient encounter and which particular pages or modules our clinic staff might use. A patient's reason for visit is established at triage and then recorded in our electronic medical record when they are registered. And then patients follow one of two main paths, either to see a physician, which you can see on the left here, or if asymptomatic, are offered an express visit, which includes urine-based gonorrhea and chlamydia NATS testing, blood-based syphilis, and rapid HIV testing by oral swab. And physician modules include chief complaint, sexual history, medical history, physical exam, and diagnosis and treatment. And I'll show you an example of a sexual history page in a bit. This is a patient's chart just after registration. And so this is sort of what we call the main page or the main demographics page. And because we're not on a live system, I can't show you navigation. But I do want to point out this module menu to the left. If you were to click on any of these pages, you'd open up in the center, you'd open up that page in the chart. So the need for change. By early 2007, it became apparent that system stability could not keep up with rate of growth. The main complaint in the clinics was that the system was moving slowly, was that it would sometimes crash and have to be rebooted. And really, from an IT perspective, the understanding, as it was explained to me, was that the database structure was really built for a system with smaller scope. And so the expanded functionality that we were needing and the exponential growth in visits due to a myriad of other factors related to clinic operations really necessitated a new version that had more scalability. And so, you know, we had numerous enhancements identified by users. Our electronic systems capacity, the electronic systems capacity had advanced at our referral lab, so we were talking about creating electronic interface. And our EMR data was used with greater frequency for quality assurance and program evaluation. So the objectives of this presentation are to describe the redesign and expansion of our EMR to accommodate new needs. And when I say redesign, I really mean the rebuilding of the system, sort of from the ground up, including the restructuring of the data tables. To highlight associated human and electronic resource needs, with the hope that programs could bring these lessons back in case they want to build their own or purchase their own, and to demonstrate how we accommodated evolving user needs and changing clinical requirements. There are, of course, many advantages to our new system, the new version of our system, which I don't have time to go through, but I will highlight four of them, four of the central advantages, and then show you examples of each. The new version of EMR I mentioned was redesigned to enable quick addition of variables. This was sort of the restructuring of the tables helped us be able to add variables quickly in the case of a newly validated lab test or an outbreak or some other reason. We also enhanced our laboratory results interface, whereby we requisition tests and receive results electronically, directly from the lab. We also added clinical decision support tools and alerts and confirmation messages, and I'll show you an example of this in a minute. I mentioned that the restructuring, or re-architecture, if you will, enabled rapid addition of variables. We actually recently had a potential syphilis outbreak in the Bronx, and we were able to quickly add this outbreak-related checkbox to the reason for visit page so that we could capture those patients that were coming in for that reason to our clinic. Here you also see an example of a confirmation message. I don't know if you can read from the back there, but it says module saved successfully to help sort of affirm that the data that was entered was saved. And I'll just take you through our electronic lab results interface. This is an individual patient's chart, their referral labs page. And the first step is to order the appropriate test by checking off the checkbox to the left. And then we go to not an individual level page, but a clinic level page. And this page is used to scan all the specimens into a list, which we call a manifest, each day. And so all tests that have been ordered in a particular clinic for a given day are listed here under available specimens. And then their barcode stickers, which are printed from a barcode label printer that we have attached to our system, can be stuck on the specimens and then scanned into this box here. And then they appear on a list by specimen site, by specimen type here. And you can see that this clinic so far today has had one cervical specimen, 6 urethral specimens, and 13 urine specimens collected so far today. And if I were to click on the titles of these, it would display a line list with patient name, date of visit, ordering clinician. And this is a line list or a manifest that is then printed at the end of each day and packaged with the batch of specimens in place of individual paper requisitions. The quality assurance literature has shown that clinical decision support tools are a useful addendum to improving care. So this is an example of a patient's sexual history page, an individual patient. And any chart that is marked male with a history of same-sex partner and a history of performative oral sex, which you can see here, will show an alert, oral GC culture indicated. Similarly, if they report receptive anal sex, they see anal GC culture indicated. And these alerts will also show up on the patient's lab page to remind the clinician to order the appropriate test. This is another example of a clinical decision support tool. This is a patient's HIV assessment page, which is filled out by the counselor prior to HIV testing. And at the top here, we have an HIV testing history, which you can show or hide. And it really just shows, in order of date, a patient's HIV testing in any of our 10 clinics in EMER. So don't pay any attention to this particular one. I created it for a fake patient. It doesn't make clinical sense, but you get the idea. On the patient's main page, that first page that I showed you, there is a box to check do not send mail for patients who don't want mail sent to their house. So this is now the reports page from which staff will print letters or reports that are mailed to the patient or given to the patient in person. And so you'll see this alert here, patient requested do not send mail, which appears on this page if it was checked on the front page. And I just should say that with the exception of the electronic lab results interface, really all of these enhancements came from clinic staff suggestions. So this is really a dynamic system, and we really try to take a lot of suggestion from the field staff, or I guess I should say from the frontline staff, right? Continuing human resource needs. During implementation, we had more staff than this to help us roll it out through all 10 clinics. But currently we have an IT programmer who gives us about a quarter of his time, an IT manager about half time, an STD project manager about half time, a full-time data manager on our STD end, and full-time on-site hardware and software support. This is through our IT help desk. And I should say that for the IT programmer, about a quarter time is a little tight for us. We have a really dynamic system, and it's growing quickly. So this isn't ideal. People may feel they need more IT programmer time. And additionally, we've experienced really exponential data requests and analytic demands. And so you may want to bolster analytics support as well. For example, we hired an analyst who works pretty much exclusively with our EMER data. There are three pieces of equipment that we need to set up an EMER registration station. That is the barcode label printer that I mentioned before, scanners and signature pads, like the ones you see in grocery stores to collect electronic signatures. And so we need those in stock, both for if, you know, the ones that we have break or to set up new stations. And additionally, on a continuous basis, we need sticker labels and toner for those printers. So you gotta think about that continuing. It's not just you buy the system. There's some stuff that you have to keep purchasing. Some conclusions and lessons learned are really to expect exponential growth in numbers and requests for enhancements. No one knows more what they need and how to respond to the changes than the folks who are working in the clinic, and they will let you know. So additionally, as soon as folks in our bureau and outside of our bureau realized sort of the wealth of information that we were capturing, we had tons of requests for data. So that as well. And as I mentioned before, we needed the flexibility to make rapid and sometimes temporary system changes in response to local or national imperatives. For example, we had an acute HIV testing pilot that recently wrapped up. Our outbreak activities that I mentioned, changes to clinic flow. Sometimes really urgently we need to allow the system to be flexible. And finally, and this is something that I think is just really important, that the variables that are ideal for data analysis may not be optimal for the users or the patient. So that is that variables with distinct levels or formatted data entry may hinder the physician's ability to record information, or may force an answer that isn't quite appropriate. And this is important because we really do want to use this data to evaluate and improve our program. But there is a trade-off between the strictness of data entry criteria and the need for data management staff to unlock or change things from the back end. So really, the more that you try and limit what is entered in, you know, for accuracy's sake, the more time I think you'll spend trying to figure out workarounds for those inevitable exceptions. So that's important. And our system, as I mentioned, is dynamic. We already have a long list of future enhancements. These are some that are on the docket that are coming soon, but there are more. And these are just some. And I really must acknowledge the folks in our Bureau of Informatics and Information Technology who really built and then rebuilt our system, and my colleagues in the Bureau of STD Control. Thank you.